Welcome to my commentary on 2 Thessalonians. This section, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 reads, "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together unto him." There is going to come a day when we believers on earth or in heaven will be gathered together unto him. Now, you may call this rapture or whatever. Paul is just stating a fact. He's not saying when this will happen. That's not the topic at hand here. Verse 2, "Not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come." What was going on here was some people or some person had been issuing a report that the day of the Lord had already come. Now, Paul had only visited these Thessalonians for 3 short weeks, and they were quite concerned about this report. Even though Paul had explained it all to them, even in these 3 short weeks, I suppose it wasn't long enough of a time for them to get it totally settled into their hearts and minds what would happen. And so now they're being unsettled in their hearts by this report. Notice Paul is talking about the day of the Lord. In the Bible, there are 2 definitions to the day of the Lord. One is the exact day that Jesus is coming. The other is what we would call the 7-year tribulation period as the day of the Lord. So what one Paul had in mind exactly, it may be questionable, but I am leaning towards the day of the Lord here, meaning the 7-year tribulation period, because he is going to talk about the coming of the Antichrist, and that is within these 7 years. So I think it's pretty obvious, at least to me, that the day of the Lord being spoken of here by Paul is the last 7 years of this age. And in one sense of the word, I don't even call those 7 years part of this age. I really do call it a separate age unto itself for a number of reasons which I won't get into here. As a side note, you may recall the Apostle John in Revelation 1:10 says that he was on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day, or the day of the Lord. Now, many people, if not the majority of people, believe that to be either Sunday or Saturday, depending on if you want to view it from a Christian perspective or a Jewish perspective. I don't view it as being either. I believe what John was saying there, he was transported into a future time, into the day of the Lord, meaning into the last 7 years of this age. I believe that is what John is talking about when he says, "When I was on the island of Patmos, I was transported into the future, into the day of the Lord, into the time of the last 7 years, or those specific 7 years of judgment on the earth." That's what I believe John meant in Revelation 1:10. So Paul goes on to say, before that day comes, what does he say here? Verse 3, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs." Now, we've got some people differing on what that means, the rebellion. Some people believe it's members of the church falling away from the church. Some people believe it's really the world falling away from any Christian consensus, any Christian influence it might have had. And that's what I believe it means. And I believe it means that the day will come when there will be very little Christian consensus left to influence any nation or any people on the earth. You might recall Jesus saying, "When I return, will there be anyone with faith?" Well, I think that goes along with this. That's what I believe the rebellion means here. And because of this rebellion, because of the lack of Christian influence, what Paul says next can come about. So let me back up again and read verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day, meaning the day of the Lord, will not come until the rebellion occurs, till the Christian influence is pretty well gone, and the man of lawlessness or sin is revealed. Now, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, prophetic futurists believe him to be the Antichrist, he can easily come on the scene because there is next to no Christian influence left in the world. Now, prophetic futurists believe, as I do, that the Antichrist will appear on the world scene. He will have some kind of influence at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, but in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, he will be endued with power and authority by Satan himself. If you read Revelation 13:1, and we'll just read this, "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea." Now, in context, this beast is the Antichrist. "He had 10 horns and 7 heads," and John goes on to explain what he saw. But in a few sentences down the line here, it says, "The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority." The dragon is Satan. There's no question about that. The text goes on to say who the dragon is. So at the midway point of the tribulation, the Antichrist is no longer just an ordinary man. He is empowered by Satan. Some people believe Satan actually enters the Antichrist, the man, and tries to duplicate the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he was on earth. So going back to Paul, the rebellion occurs. No Christian influence allows a man to become the leader of the world who, after 3.5 years, gets his power and authority from Satan himself and is able to deceive the world. So when Paul says the man of sin is revealed, I believe this is what Revelation 13 says. 1 and following is all about. The Antichrist will be prominent in the world in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, but when he gets the power from Satan, he will be revealed to the world as being someone special. Paul goes on to say, the man doomed to destruction. Eventually, as we see in Revelation 19, the Antichrist is thrown into the lake of fire. That's what Paul is talking about here. Verse 4, "He," meaning the Antichrist, "will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God." The Antichrist isn't just going to exalt himself over what Christians call God, but what Muslims call God, what Jews call God. He is going to set himself above every religion on the planet, not just the Christian religion. And then Paul goes on to say, "or is worshipped." So anything that is worshipped, the Antichrist sets himself over. And then he says, "so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." This is a controversy, even amongst prophetic futures. Is the temple spoken of by Paul here a literal temple, or does it mean the temple of God as in this age, meaning the body of Christ? I lean towards a physical temple in Jerusalem that the Jews will be, that will rebuild. Now, part of this understanding comes on how you understand the book of Revelation. I understand the book of Revelation is to be totally Hebrew-centric, totally about the Jews and not really the Gentiles. The Gentiles come into it only in the fact that they will be judged. But the book of Revelation is a Jewish book. It's more of an Old Testament style book. It's about Jews living at the end of this age, going into the next age, the 7 years of the tribulation. So many prophetic futures believe that the Antichrist makes a deal with Israel, helps build the temple. We see that in Daniel. But at the halfway point, he changes his mind and he himself sets himself up as God in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And that's what I believe Paul is talking about here. People will say, well, why would God even call a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem that was built by basically, well, Jews who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would he call that temple his temple? Well, let me say this. Herod's temple, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus went into that temple and said, don't make God's temple, which is supposed to be a house of prayer, into a place of commerce. Well, if you understand that temple, that really wasn't God's temple. It was Herod's temple. It had no resemblance to Solomon's temple. There was no resemblance of any true worship being performed there, but Jesus himself considered that to be God's temple, even though an apostate, half-Jew, half-Gentile king, as in Herod, built the temple for his own purpose. Jesus still called that God's temple, and he could easily still call this temple built in the tribulation period God's temple, when in fact it has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe little to do with the real God of the Bible. So I do believe that what Paul says here about the temple in verse 4 can easily be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Now, just one more thought. Satan knows, or I assume he knows, that Jesus is going to return to earth and set up his throne in Jerusalem. So it only makes sense that Satan will enter the Antichrist and set up his throne from Jerusalem. The whole thing on Satan's part here is to duplicate what Jesus will do, to really usurp what Jesus will do. Of course, he fails. It makes biblical sense that this is a literal temple that the Antichrist will rule from, or at least set himself up as God from. We will continue on with verse 5 in the next section.